What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Delusional is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yeah!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make ponies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, y'all? This is the Gospel Heard Around the World, Apologia Radio. Welcome back, guys. With the bear and the girl, and I'm the ninja. That's right. Hey, I want to talk to you about that, Luke.
I'm sorry, what?
Why are you shaking your head at me?
What?
Joy?
What?
Is that a dirty look, Joy, just got over there? She scowled at me, I think.
I don't have any energy to deal with the whole ninja situation.
Yeah?
If you don't want to consult us regarding the show, then that's fine.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I mean, I told somebody last night
what?
That I was going to read
what?
A message. I was going to read a message that someone sent me. Okay, this is from Dustin Medicus. He's a longtime fan, listener to the show.
Is he like a Latin doctor?
he sent me an article to take a look at. He says, thank you. He says, I'm tired of Luke harassing you about being the ninja.
No one cares what he thinks.
He says, if Luke can be a bear because of his beard, surely you are a ninja based on your martial arts expertise.
And surely, so, if I'm not allowed to pull outside fan sources regarding the apostle, then you're not allowed to do it with your nickname. Other people talking about the apostle, then you're not allowed to reference some fan of the show regarding the nickname Ninja.
Except nobody believes you.
You're not allowed.
Here's
the problem with the whole situation. I didn't name myself the bear.
That's true.
She didn't name herself the girl.
Nope.
I didn't name myself the ninja.
Liar.
Yes, you
Scott
did.
Scott Murray named me the ninja.
You pushed it.
You can ask Scott Murray.
The problem is...
Let's call him right now.
The problem is he's the only person that called you that.
Yeah.
No, my friends have always called me ninja.
Your friends?
They'd be like, what's up, my ninja?
What friends? I've never called
friends?
You
that. They'd be like, what's up, my ninja? That's what they'd say to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Ninja, please!
That's what they say to me. I lived in D.C. That's what they say. They say, what's up, ninja? That's what they call me.
You better get those people on the phone, then.
All right.
Your homies from D.C.
All right. Well, we're doing a really special show today. I'm going to ignore everything coming across the table right there. We're doing a special show right today with our boy, John Sampson. What's up, John?
The sun is up, and it's going to be 114 today.
Oh,
but
Yeah. This is what people in Phoenix right now are praising God for. Water,
mm-hmm.
air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Today, water and air.
And the gospel.
Yeah, and the gospel. He just Jesus juked me. See that?
Seriously.
He just Jesus juked me. He's like, oh, and the gospel too, Jeff.
look at John. Isn't he glowing?
He is.
Why is that?
I think it's because...
He's Mr. John Sampson now?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Married now, right?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah, praise God.
I married my wife.
How Delilah? Is it Delilah? Is that her name?
No.
Oh.
No, Linda.
Oh, woo! That's right, Linda.
I keep saying Linder, but it's Linda.
Yeah.
I used to say Hosanner, and I used to lead a praise and worship team, and I kept singing Hosanner, and they didn't know what that was.
Hillsong does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Hosanna. I think Queen's that's okay English. With that song, because it's... When it's originally sung, they say it that way.
Yeah,
because
huh?
they're mm-hmm. saying it right, I guess, as you mm-hmm. would say.
Well, mm-hmm. John, right. Now that you have officially joined the colonists, mm-hmm. you have to sort of work with the language here, okay?
Yes.
It's a little more rough-edged.
Yes.
You're one of us.
Yes, well, I've got to kind of reach out to the natives, I realize. If you go to France, you've got to learn French. I've got to try and learn this thing you've got going here.
You just got to dumb the language down, not so eloquent.
Okay? Say like a lot, and yeah.
You'll be there you
okay.
go.
Dude.
I haven't gone that far.
Oh, come on, John. You will by the time the show's
over. And it's still football, not
I'll
soccer.
I'll get you to say it. So what's with tea, though? I wanted to ask you about tea. Like, why are British people so in love with tea?
I don't know. They kind of ruled the world at one particular point, and they thought it'd be a good thing for everyone to drink that, and they got it from India cheap, and it was the way of the kingdom of God, because that's what you... I believe that, you know, before the Lord does something historic, he sends a messenger. And one of the things that he did was send John the Baptist before Christ. Now he sent me to teach Americans what heaven will be like. They'll be serving tea. You're looking forward to hear those illustrious words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I just want to prepare people's hearts. Yeah.
There's something magic about tea, though. British people
and
their
tea. They don't make tea... Tea here and tea there are not the same kind of tea, mm-hmm. right?
When I first got here, it was very, very difficult to find correct, fully British tea.
And proper tea.
I had mm-hmm. to drive from Glendale to Scottsdale. It's a 22-mile drive,
oh, wow.
and they charged $18 for what you can now get for about $7.
Yeah.
And but now there's, you know, light has come, and you can get it kind of locally, and for the glory of the Lord.
Is tea... To British people, like catnip is to cats. I'm just wondering.
It probably is, yeah.
Isn't it
yeah.
sort of mellow
them
out?
High? It doesn't, yeah.
Right.
I'm pretty sure catnip makes cats like, there's something, all crazy.
No one just goes after a substance like that unless they're getting something out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What's you so know? Special about it? Does it have like real bits of Queen in it or something?
Oh <my God. laughs> real bits of Queen.
Mm-hmm. Queen, the Beatles, anything from England. Yeah.
There you go. Big Ben chipped off
Big
right
Ben,
there.
Parliament. Look, kids. Big Ben, Parliament. All right, Pastor Luke, we got some comments right on the podcast, right? And so as Luke pulls it up, I want to encourage you guys to head over to our iTunes channel, to go to Apologia Radio on iTunes, and you guys can get all the past episodes via subscription for free, no charge whatsoever. Just go get all the past episodes. You can also go to apologiaradio.com and get all the episodes and share those on your social media. But when you go to the iTunes channel, you can... Go subscribe, and then there's comments you can leave, and you can rate us as well. Give us that 5-star rating, y'all. Give us the 5-star rating, and then put your comment, and that's going to push Apologia Radio's podcast up into the most popular podcast and everything else, so we can get alongside guys like Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes. These are really popular podcasts, unfortunately, and we can get ours up in there and just really bless the world with some solid teaching and I think really fun shows. So, Pastor Luke, what are our comments? You got some?
Yeah, before I do that, I actually took a screenshot of our most popular shows.
So yeah.
I'm going to share that real quick on iTunes.
Yeah.
Okay, so most popular show from May 15th, I Love Abortion. And by the way, this is iTunes. I don't know how they determine popularity, but this is just what they say. So.
And the I Love Abortion episode is the one where we actually responded to a woman on iTunes, yeah. on YouTube that had that as her title of her video. I love abortion.
It's not that we love abortion.
No, right. We were responding to a very despicable statement.
Okay, so number two was recently UFC to the Glory of God and Hobby Lobby Sitch. Three, Silly Atheist, Science is for Christians. That's even more recent.
Wow.
Next one on Being an Apologetic Ninja. Then, let's see, so what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Should we apply God's law today? Number 5.
Are you asking me or am I supposed to? yes.
yes, also. Number 6, The Elephant in the Room. Number 7, End Times, Blood Moons and Prank Calls. 8, Refuting Evolution and the Science something. I cut it off. And then Abandon the Culture 101, Two Kingdom Theology.
John Frame.
Strong Frame.
Strong Frame.
And then finally, number 10, Should Christians Break Bad?
Wow.
Yeah.
Top 10 episodes, huh?
Yep.
All right. What are those comments?
Okay. Hold on, I got to switch screens. Okay. So here we go. Not Your Average Heart Stirring by Priscilla Joy. Not by Timby Joy.
Timby, Timby.
I heard about Apology at Church and Pastor Jeff Durbin on YouTube, and I was appalled.
Appalled. Yeah. I read that, and I was like, appalled? Did I offend you?
I know. I felt the call to know how to minister to the JW and LDS community and to do so in love. I felt so exhorted and convicted to do so after the many videos on their channel. I love you guys who are pouring your life out for the things that are near to God's heart, people. And those people who are looked at as hopeless and bound. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I will be praying for you and supporting you. God, continue to use this ministry so mightily. His kingdom come.
That's pretty good. Pretty good comment. I think appalled might have been maybe a different word she was thinking. Maybe.
Appeated.
Yeah.
Appeated or
excited.
Appalled.
Appalled. Yeah.
Maybe she was listening to...
I saw Jeff Durbin and I was appalled. That is not going
to
start.
Maybe
really.
She listened to...
my hair? My beard?
Maybe she listened to Backpack... I mean, Fanny Pack Radio, where Vocab called us appalling radio.
Ah, maybe that's what she's pulling.
Okay. Other one, My Cup of Tea by C. Gonzo.
Mm, speaking of tea.
Speaking of tea.
Mm-hmm.
How perfect.
Is this guy British?
This guy wrote, I mean, I don't know if it's a guy. It's C. Gonzo. I don't know if he's like a Muppet, but all caps. This is all caps.
I think he's a Muppet.
Honestly, I wonder if he's yelling at us. Honestly, have to say that, like true Christianity, shows like these are very few, and the hosts of the show do not shy away from even the most intimidating of issues. You will not regret taking the time to listen. Thank you, C. Gonzo.
Very good. That's it?
That's it.
Good comments, guys. Excellent. If you guys leave a comment on the iTunes channel, we just might read it on air just like that. So please go to the channel, like the page on Facebook, and leave those comments. Join the movement, guys. Couple things before we go out of this segment wanted to point you to is if you go to our major sponsor, the American Vision, AmericanVision.com, that's their bookstore, MP3 library things, videos. Right now, they're giving our listeners 40% off.
Everything.
Everything.
Including sale items.
Again.
Including your mom.
That's right. So amazing. 40% off. Last time they did this in December and it blew up. People really were blessed by it. Guys, take advantage. Believe me, take advantage. 40% off all their resources. Amazing, amazing discount for Apologia Radio listeners. 40% off when you go to AmericanVision.com and you go and you get everything in your cart and you check out. You want to go to the box or the coupon code and put Apologia.
All caps.
All caps. APOLOGIA. All caps. Apologia. Get you 40% discount. Let everybody know. Be right back, guys. Today we're talking about all things Reformed theology. We're going to talk about Calvinism. We're going to respond to a video from Pastor Steven Anderson from Tempe, Arizona. Yeah, he's the one that was tased at the border crossing.
Don't tase
or
me, bro.
the border check. Something, something. So be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com. Join us in a minute.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com, guys, with the bear, the girl, John Sampson. What's up, John?
You asked me that before. I think the same things that were up before are still up now.
Yeah, he's still got some transitioning to do from the motherland.
The feedback that I've gotten many times from past episodes, at least by way of listeners, not necessarily the iTunes, these are our most popular. I've gotten some of the most feedback from the episodes we've had John on.
Oh, really?
Some of the most helpful stuff. And you have been used by God to convert a many Arminian
to
Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
And reform theology. So praise God for that.
All right, what language was this song in? Was it Malayalam or something?
It was pretty awesome. Listen, it's about awesome.
You said that right.
Yeah. All right, guys. Again,
you didn't answer my question.
I don't know. It just sounds awesome.
Just like it.
It's great.
Again,
it's great.
Trying to blend a lot of different music styles for all of our wide-ranging audience, sort of, you know, the whole spectrum. We got older people, younger people. We got people who are into dubstep, people who are into hip-hop. Trying to do my best to get a little blend going on
people
here.
People who like The Lion King.
That's right. People who like The Lion King. all right, guys. So 40% off The American Vision. Go to theamericanvision.com. You get 40% off right now, all of our listeners. Luke, do you know when this ends?
Shoot.
We'll find out next segment. We'll pull
it
up for you guys.
I'll pull it up right now.
All right, so 40% off American Vision. Go there, get that. Okay,
let me say this too real quick.
Yeah.
They have some ridiculous sales right now too, so you can get some amazing books for like next to nothing right now.
Take advantage, guys. Take advantage. Uncle Gary, Joel DeMar, get the books.
Did you say Joel DeMar?
I said Uncle Gary DeMar. Sorry, Joel McDermott. I did, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, they're going to laugh us out. I'm going to get emails probably from them.
Joel McDermott-y.
All right, so here's what we need. Before we do this show today, we want to talk to you guys about right now our donation drive that ends on September 1st. A lot of you guys have already started to participate, and we want to encourage everyone who's a listener to this show. Many of you guys, they hit us up, and you're like, I've been listening to this show for a year now, it's changed my life, and, you know, God's using it, I'm in ministry now, I'm serving God back in church again, whatever it is. So a lot of you guys have been listening to this show, it's been used by God to bless you and to encourage you and to help equip you, and we need you to join with us. A show like this really is dependent upon listener support. And we want to thank God for all of you guys that have supported us in the past. And we want to ask you guys to join us by giving. And we want to do something special in this donation drive till September 1st. And here's what we're going to do. If you haven't heard yet, the donation drive ends on September 1st. We're asking you to give to the work and to the ministry of Apologia Church via Apologia Radio. Join with us. Help us. As we bring the gospel into the world, we have so many things we want to do, need to do, but we need the support of God's people to do it. And so what we're asking is you donate at apologiaradio.com to Apologia Church and our work and our ministry. We need you. Donations, anywhere 25, you want to give 25 bucks, you want to give 10 bucks, whatever you want to give, 100 bucks, 1,000 bucks, whatever you want to do, as you give to the ministry of Apologia Church. September 1st, the donation drive is up. Here's what we're going to do. We want to bless our listeners. And so what we're going to do is this. For every $25 that you give, so if you give 100 bucks, that counts as four, segments. And so what we're going to do is for every $25 that you give, we're going to put you into a raffle to give a gift away. And here's what the gift's going to be. We are going to fly out one of our listeners, possibly two if it goes well enough. Fly out one of our listeners. We're going to put you up in a hotel. You're going to spend the day here in the studio with us recording an episode of Apologia Radio. You'll be on air with us. And we're going to take you to dinner that evening to Fogo de Chao. We're calling it Meat Fest 2014. Same place we take Uncle Gary when he's out in town. We're going to take you to Fogo de Chao. You're going to join with us in a meal. You're going to be on the show. We're going to put you up in a hotel. We're going to fly out round trip, ticket, and everything else. So that's what we're going to do. Here's the deal. The whole focus here is on the donation drive. It's helping Apologia Church, obviously through your prayers, but also financial support. We need you. We need you to stand with us. This is not asking you to help keep a Christian radio station on playing Christian music that you can play through YouTube for free,
right.
Or Pandora for free. This is asking you to join with us in a ministry, to partner with us, to be a part of what's going on. We get emails from across the world every week, people coming out of atheism, Mormonism, the Watchtower. We have people that are starting ministries now to abortion mills as a result of this show, hearing it, being encouraged by it. This is a ministry. We need you to be with us, guys. So September 1st is the end date of the donation drive. September 1st. for every $25 that you donate, you're going to go in for this raffle for this gift. And Luke, you look at your chomp at the bit there.
Well, for example, yesterday we had somebody shoot us a $200 donation. So they get their name in the raffle 8 times.
There you go. There you go.
And then also the date on the American Vision thing is, I lost it. No. August 3rd.
Yes, August 3rd.
So their discount thing works through August 3rd.
Okay, good. One more thing I forgot to mention is this, is when you donate, here's also part of the thing we're doing. We're asking you, as you donate towards this donation drive and for this gift in the raffle, when you do that, we're asking that you also invite 10 friends to like Apologia Radio on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking that you find your favorite episode on ApologiaRadio.com and to share that episode on all your social media.
Mm-hmm.
So get your favorite episode and then share it.
You on
your,
episode
I did again. I get your because it's favorite and episode. It's just making a blend there. Get your episode and share it on your social media. So invite 10 friends to like Apologia Radio on Facebook. Share your favorite episode and donate. September 1st, we're going to announce it on air. We'll probably even do the raffle.
I said. So September 3rd, we'll do the raffle in the studio. That will be the show. That will be the day we record that.
There you go. And we'll probably actually bring a video camera in here and do it and shoot the video up live and everything else.
Maybe we can, as part of the prize, we can have them be able to hear the gospel presented in British by John.
What?
I'd like to be a part of this. I believe in what you're doing, and I think the winner of the raffle. I haven't checked with the people at my church where I pastor. I'd like to donate a box of English tea.
Woo!
There you go.
What?
We'll throw that in. There you go.
What?
There you go. We'll throw that in.
John, you might want to check. You shouldn't be doing that and making commitments like that on air. You can. Don't make those commitments. All right, guys. So that's what's up. And now let's get into some deep theological talk. Some issues. All right. If you've been listening to this show, you know that we are humbly and yet with boldness at the same time, reformed, and we consider ourselves Calvinists. We call ourselves Calvinists. Now, as we go into the break, let me say something really important. If you're a new listener to the show, being a Calvinist has nothing to do with a man, John Calvin. That's very important for you to capture. It's not about a man-made system. It's not about a man named John Calvin. It is about the text of Scripture related to particular issues concerning man's condition before salvation, the call of God for salvation, the atonement of Jesus Christ, what did it mean, what did he accomplish, the ability of God to save sinners, and God's loving preservation of his people in salvation. That's what it is about. What does the Bible say about those issues? We're going to talk about it when we come back. John Sampson, the girl, the bear, me, ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Eyes locked, beak sharpened, waiting for your dying breath so she can pick the carcass. Led you to the desert under false pretenses. You lower your defenses, now you're trying to stay conscious. You flash back to a simpler age. You met a girl who in your book was on a similar page. From everything you saw, she was a little goody too. Kicked, you'd hope she'd infuse some notes into your music. With affection.
So I'm always arguing, John, that
for days, you hang up
you'll often hear
up first,
so somebody
girl, crazy. You never knew a love like this
say,
was so amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to be called anything else except Christian. Now, I always say, respectfully and with grace to the person, that's not really true. That's not really true, because we're happy to take on the title of Trinitarian as Christians, because it describes a particular position we believe about the Word of God. Now, that word Trinity is not in the Bible, neither is Trinitarian or Trinitarianism. The issues related to the hypostatic union of the words hypostatic union are not in the Scriptures, but we're happy to believe those things and use those titles because we believe the Scriptures teach those things. And so the issues surrounding Calvinism, I always say, well, I'm happy to use the title Calvinism if you ask me, because it gives you in a punch, in a word, what I believe about the condition of man and who's just who is in charge of salvation. Is salvation God-centered or man-centered? And so if you were introducing somebody to the first time to this discussion about Calvinism, what would you want to get across to them as you talk about it?
I'd say that it's unfortunate that a man's name has been associated with the doctrines that came out of the Reformation, and that would have been true at the time, and as well it would be true of John Calvin, who was very self-effacing. If you read his sermons, read his commentaries, it's hard to find any personal anecdotes in anything he was writing or saying. He actually asked that he be buried in an unmarked grave. That's where he was coming from. But what happened was he was the systematizer. He was saying very little, if anything, that Luther hadn't said before him. But Calvin was able to systematically put him down into what he called his institutes, and it became the handbook of the Reformation. And so in a sentence, they were able to say, I'm a Calvinist, which would save them saying 17 minutes worth of material about what it is they believe. They say, oh, you follow that guy Calvin. Yes, if you say that he's summed up in theology what I believe the Bible to be teaching. Mm. And so what I'm interested in is not Mr. Calvin, but what the Bible teaches. If I can't find what he said in there, I don't want it. And if you ask me, am I a Calvinist, I would say yes, as long as you give me a chance to explain what that means.
Right.
And that is, we embrace the idea God saves sinners. It's derived from Scripture.
And a statement is as simple as that and as meaningful as that. God saves sinners. We're saying that's it. That summarizes all of it. It's we are not the ones that take any glory in this. We have nothing to boast of. It's God who saves sinners completely. Joy! Why are you Arminian? No.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You're really trying to make me some enemies. Yeah, Haven't seen the Apostle, not a Calvinist.
She doesn't watch the Apostle. She's an Arminian. You know?
That would be interesting.
Arius is her favorite theologian.
If I was Arminian, I have kept my mouth shut on many things we have talked about on this show.
Okay, Joy, why do you think it's important for someone, I mean, for you, if you tell, you say, I'm Reformed, I'm a Calvinist, I go to a Reformed church. Why? Like, why do you think it's significant to do something like that?
Well, I think it's directly related to your views on the importance of Scripture.
Right.
Because it is scriptural. It's not just that I'm, you know, saying I believe this and this. I believe that it comes from the Bible. So I think we wouldn't want to say, oh, well, it's not a salvation issue, so it's not important, because it does reveal, you know, how important you think the scriptures are and how you're reading them. And it does say something about your walk, where you're at.
Yeah. And the issues do strike to the gospel itself.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Especially on this. I mean, there's some topics that you could say they're not. You know, they're a little further away from gospel issues, but this definitely, it not just the scripture, but it reveals who God is, and did he do what he said he was going to do? And I mean, it's a big issue.
Luke,
do you think the apostle was an Arminian?
No. All right, but we have about 45 seconds.
He definitely wasn't a Calvinist.
Yeah.
The
apostle.
Oh, the apostle. You meant like the apostle Paul?
No.
Oh, okay, I'm like, well, yeah, he's a Calvinist.
No.
The apostle, like Robert Duvall, like Lord, yes, sir.
Yeah,
he was Arminian.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh.
Listen, we're not
that's
promoting the show because of the theology. It's because it's a delicious movie, Joy.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
You have not caught me in anything here, okay?
Uh-huh. All right.
All right, guys. Now we're gonna get back, guys, in just a moment here, talking about questions that are often asked that we need to provide answers for related to the issue of Calvinism. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Sister Bessie, don't you say no prayers for me. A slow boat's gonna lead me where I'm bound. I'm far to travel.
So,
don't you say no prayers.
I'm a, I have a Jehovah's Witness that calls me up. And this Jehovah's Witness, we're on the phone for about 2.5 hours. So for the first 2 hours, it's straight gospel. Law of God, our sin, our unrighteousness, filthy rags, holy God, Christ, his grace, and the issues related to faith in Christ apart from works of law. You know, obviously we talked about Christ as God. But we're specifically talking at this point about how is a person justified before God, reconciled to God. And so about 2 hours of discussion on that, right? And then after going through Romans, which is all I was really doing, I'm just walking him through Romans. I'm talking about, I'm just Romans 3:28. We conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from works of law. And no one's going to be justified by law before in his sight, and we're just going through, and it's faith apart from works of law, and you know it's apart from works and the credited righteousness through faith, God never remembering our sins again, and you know, having been declared righteous through faith, Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says to me after 2 hours of this straight gospel, he says, "Wait a minute, so you're saying that it's all God?" He goes, "So you're saying that it's no works and that it's all Jesus, has nothing to do with you, and it's through faith in him alone?" I said, yes, that's what Paul says, yes. He goes, "So then that would mean that God is the one who is solely responsible for salvation." I said, "Yes." Okay, good. And he goes, "And that would mean that, well, wait a second, that would mean that God would have had to have planned who he's going to save." And I said, "You know what's funny here, as I said, is that you're following the same train of thought that Paul does in the book of Romans."
Right.
I said, "Isn't it interesting that I've basically, the whole time I've been talking to you, I've been walking you through Romans chapters 1 through 5, and I said, and you caught the logical connection that goes to Romans 9, which is exactly what Paul does." So when I say that this is a gospel issue, it does cut to the heart of the gospel, because if you answer differently on this, these issues of the grace of God, what does it mean, works, faith, if you answer in a different way about man's condition, is he sick and he can cooperate in some way and it's ultimately up to him to decide for Jesus, you know, with his, quote, free will, then you're going to answer different than Paul does in Romans. It's a whole different system. Now, we're not saying Arminians aren't saved. I think that consistent Arminianism, full-blown consistent Arminianism, is not the gospel, and I do condemn that. But I think that most of us are mixed up, and I think we're inconsistent. And so you have people that, you know, don't even know the issues, and so just trusting in Christ, and that's it. And they have some weird traditions and philosophies that have crept into their thinking, and it's causing problems with how they read the Bible. So I'll let you guys talk to that for a second. What do you guys feel about that discussion?
So what's the... Just the question.
Well, just that issue. Just the issue of how important this is.
Okay.
Because, you know, to ask, you know, John, ask Joy, you know, why would it be important to do this? Because people will say, why can't we just call ourselves Christians? And I'll give you an example. We have David from church. He just came to Christ out of Watchtower for over 2 decades, moved out to Arizona. He's at Apologia Church now. So he's, you know, into the scriptures now and everything else. And someone came on and he was asking a question. And I saw into one of his comments. And they were sort of challenging it, like, oh, this is too difficult to understand, and too many Christians disagree on this, and sort of leave that issue alone. And to my mind, how do you leave the issue of God's grace, and just how gracious is God, and just how mighty is God, how do you leave that alone as a Christian when you have entire chapters of the Bible to describe this?
Well, I can speak personally that, I mean, when I kind of was being brought into Reformed theology, it completely transformed the way I did evangelism. You know, I think I may have talked about this before, but I mean, you know, before I understood Reformed theology, I would have been, you know, very careful to make sure I got like all 5 points of the gospel in, and make sure you have to get all of those points, or, you know, and it was very much, my evangelism was very much centered upon making sure I said the right things. You know, when I became Reformed, then it was like this, you know, gorilla was taken off my back, where I could felt more free to just like be real with people and just, you know, speak truth in their lives and not worry about making sure I had every single word correct, because I then realized it was all on God. It was all you know, his spirit. It was all, God in salvation, and what it really ultimately didn't depend on me. And so that was huge for me in my own personal walk.
So I feel you on the issue of feeling somehow that this is dependent upon me. I can remember many times mm-hmm. going to the Mormon temple early on in my walk with Christ and being out there doing evangelism and walking away many times exasperated mm-hmm. because I truly, at the time, before I was, you know, inconsistent, thinking about the grace of God and his power to save, I was truly believing that this was dependent upon me mm-hmm. to convince, that God had ultimately done everything that he could do, and this was up to me to convince, and this person could thwart God, and I didn't want that to happen. And so, you know, that was really in my mind, is this is really dependent upon this moment, this situation, and what I say. And then I began to see in the book of Acts that people come to Christ, the Gentiles come to Jesus, and the response of the church to that moment of when the Gentiles come is their response is, oh, well, then God has granted the Gentiles repentance. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? And you start seeing Paul saying, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:24-26, that if perhaps God grants them repentance. And in Philippians 1:29, that faith is a gift of God, has been gifted to you to believe in Christ. And all the rest, I realize, oh my goodness, this is all God. It's all up to God. And there's a confidence and a peace and a rest that you fall into mm-hmm. where you just say, I bring the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation, and God does that work.
God saves sinners, as we've said already. And if that is true, and it is, then another quote of Spurgeon is, Christ's sheep will not be offended by Christ's voice. Hmm. You can say it like it is. You can read the Bible, not cut out the things that you think might be unpalatable. Right. Oh, they will not be able to receive this. You watch Jesus in action in John chapter 6, and he has most of the crowd go away, and he even turns to his own folk, his apostles, and says, are you going to go away too? He doesn't run after them and say, hey, there'll be more hot dogs next week, and we'll have a miracle service. Can you come back, please? And yeah. he just says, are you going away too? And he speaks of that in the context of divine election. He says it just like it is. And we've got that freedom, which I think I'm picking up from you, Luke. You realize if it's God who saves mm-hmm. sinners, I can preach the gospel full blown. Mm-hmm. I don't have to take anything out. I don't have to take the law of God out or not mention the wrath of God because that might mm-hmm. not be received. Tell it like it is. Talk of a holy right. God. Talk about a majesty that is beyond compare and how we've violated this law of the King. This King who's given us life, and we've shaken our fist in his face. But God in his mercy is now saying all who run to Christ as the ransom mm-hmm. for sin will be delivered from God's own wrath mm. because of his love. We can say it all mm. because it's God who saves sinners.
That brings us to the important topic to lay down, because we are going to pull a clip from a sermon, if you can call it that, from Stephen Anderson in Tempe, Faithful Word Baptist Church, I think it's called, in Tempe. That brings us to the bottom. This is the bottom line. The issue you have to begin this discussion with is what is our condition before the fall? So before we do all the discussion on the sovereignty of God and his working in history and evil events happening in history, we have to first understand the condition of man, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about the condition of man. What does the Bible tell us about the condition of man? Does he have a free will? Because one of the things I saw come up in this discussion with this ex-Jehovah's Witness now, who's in Christ now, he's a brother in the Lord, is this presuppositional commitment to this idea of free will.
Yeah.
So, and I wanted to just specifically to talk about this on the show today. When a Christian lays down all these verses of God granting repentance and God saving and Jesus saying, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and all the rest, when we do that, what someone comes back with is, well, but yes, but the problem you're not seeing, though, is that we have a free will God's given to us, and so on and on and on. So this idea of free will, it's held to like a treasure mm-hmm. in today's culture.
Yeah.
But you have a free will. Now, right off the bat, we want to say Calvinists never deny that people will have a will mm-hmm. that's active and makes choices.
Yes.
Okay, but let's talk about it. Free will. Do we have, in a fallen state, free will?
No, we don't. We have a will. We will desire many different things. We will always make choices, but the choices are the overflow of our hearts. our disposition, what we actually want. We don't choose what we don't want. People say, oh, yes, I've made choices where I didn't want to make that choice. I paid $500 for a suit. I didn't want to pay more than $300. Yeah, but you'd rather have the suit than go without it, and so you parted with the $500.
Yeah.
You always, unless it's an actual insane act, everything we've ever done has been the overflow of our want to.
Yeah.
And so the problem is our want to. We don't want the true God. Romans 3:11 says there's no one who seeks after God. There is no God seeker. And what we need is not free will, but wills made free. We have a heart that is called a heart of stone before we're regenerated. And stone represents the fact that there's no life in it. There's no love in it. There's no disposition towards God in it. God has to take out the heart of stone so that our want to changes. And Romans 8:7-8, the flesh will not, the man in the flesh will not submit to the word of God, the will of God, neither can he do so. It's not in him. And so what we need is wills made free. We need a new heart. We need to be regenerated. Unless a man is first born again, he cannot, not there's a 50-50 chance, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, not because he's got some physical handicap, but because he's got a moral one. He wants to lay in his sin rather than stand up and say, yes, mm-hmm. I will submit to the sovereign king of the universe.
Right, right. And so we would deny that a fallen person has a will that is free.
He who commits sin, Jesus said, is the slave of sin.
Right. There you go.
Where's freedom in slavery? Right. There isn't any.
As simple as that. John chapter 8.
Yes.
Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. How can we say as Christians that somebody outside of Christ has a, quote, free will when Jesus says they're enslaved? How is that possible?
It's the culture we live in. Yeah. It's what we breathe, especially in the Western world, especially in America.
Right. It was Dane colonists.
We serve no sovereign here.
And yeah, no king but Christ, though. Okay, so a couple of verses here on the issue of total depravity comes up. We mean total inability. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Mark 7:21-23, from within, out of the heart of men proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. John 3:19, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness. Mm-hmm. Not some men.
Mm-hmm.
There are these guys out there that love darkness. Mm. But men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And again, John 8:34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Romans 3:10-12, the collage of verses that Paul pulls in from the Old Testament. It's very clear. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. There is no God seeker. There is no God seeker. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's our condition.
The Greek word there for dead is nekros. It means dead like a corpse. There's no life in it. Not no life towards God. No sign of life.
Dead in our trespasses and sins, not sick, not able to come to God apart from his grace. So who's the mover? Who's the first actor? That's God. He's the one that's in control. ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America, One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org. Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com, guys. Join the movement. Be part of our donation drive right now, guys. September 1st, it ends. ApologiaRadio.com. Donate there. We're going to put you in for the gift we're going to give away September 1st. Every $25 donation counts towards what we're doing in the gift in the raffle. And so you guys can participate with us in ministry. We want to bless you guys. We really need you to join with us. And that's the goal of the donation drive, is to help really Apologia Church in ministry as we serve Christ in bringing the gospel to the world. We're back now. We're doing a discussion on Calvinism with John Sampson. John Sampson, do you have a book that you've written on this subject?
Yes, it's called 12 Whatabouts, Answering Common Objections Concerning God's Sovereignty and Election. It's really born out of my own journey from Arminianism into the Reformed understanding of salvation. And I put it together hoping it would address the big, big issues that people have, walking them through the scriptures, and hopefully it can be a blessing to many people.
But last time I looked, I believe it was in the top 10 seller list on monergism.com.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You could have a sequel to this book, and it could be 12 whatabouts in the area of teas. What about mm-hmm. Earl Grey? What about black tea? What about mm-hmm. green
tea? Monkey picked oolong.
Monkey picked. What about samurai chai mate? That's my favorite. That's my favorite. All right, guys, we're now talking about the sovereignty of God over events in history. And this is really important. Let me lay this down as sort of definitional. This is popular. It's essentially identical to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith and Westminster Confession. There you go. On chapter 3 of God's eternal decree, and I'm not sure if you have that section ready. You go ahead. You'll read that. I'll read this. This is from the Westminster Confession. Mm-hmm. Okay? So listen to the wording here just to show that Calvinists have been pretty clear about what we believe about this. And so we'll do one from the Baptist Confession, Westminster Confession, chapter 3 of God's eternal decree. Number 1, God from all eternity did, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass, yet so, as thereby neither is God the author of sin, nor is violence offered to the will of the creatures, nor is a liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established. All right, John, what's the 1689 Baptist say?
It's almost identical.
Read it in British.
It's the exact same words, just jumbled up a little bit differently, but it's the exact same concept.
Okay. And so it's clear that Calvinists, Reformed folks, have identified what we believe about God's eternal decree and identified very specifically that God is not the author of sin.
Mm-hmm.
This is not dreamed up in God's mind as let me make people do evil. Let me think of very sick things. You're going to hear somebody say that in a moment here. But that's not part of God, him as the author of sin. And this is really important. Nor is violence offered to the will of the creatures. God is not telling somebody, you be very sinful, and they don't want to. It's not in their minds. He's going, let me put this in your mind real fast. Mm-hmm. That the person goes, oh, I guess I want that now, right? Mm-hmm. It's not how it works. And so let's just do a couple verses here. We're laying all this down in a pattern for a reason here. Listen to how this works. Couple verses here on the sovereignty of God over history. What God arranges. Look at very clearly. Let me see here. Let's talk about God's decree. Isaiah says that God declares the end from the beginning. Okay, so let's take that in. God declares the end from the beginning. Again, God declares the end from the beginning. The Bible says that he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stay his hand. What's the verse everybody knows and loves? Let's do the one that everyone loves. Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. So God causes all things. Who causes? God causes. Mm-hmm. You're going to see one minute here why it's so important to put this down. God causes all things to work together for good. John, talk to that for a second. The issue of God in control of history, causing all things to work together for good. It's very important for us to lay this down.
And it relates to what we talked about regarding so-called free will, because never in the Bible do you come across the words, man does what he likes in heaven and earth.
Right.
But it does say that about God. Psalm 135, verse 6. God does what he pleases in heaven and on earth. And he's not only able to do that, he does that. Ephesians 1, verse 11. He works all things according to the counsel of his will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why great care was taken in the Westminster Confession and the London Baptist Confession of Faith to articulate the fact that God is controlling everything, and yet he's not the author of sin. And it's a big, big concept. And quite frankly, it's so important we get into this. But I remember hearing just a throwaway comment I heard about John Calvin, that when he talked about sovereignty and predestination, he would not do it in a very quick format. He wanted the students to be exposed for many, many hours on this subject, because there's so much misunderstanding. Mm. There's so many straw men, even in the environment that we breathe. You don't have to go to church to have straw man ideas about right. What free will is. And so he wouldn't teach on it unless he could give many hours to the subject and make sure, okay, you're here for 18 hours. All right, I can talk about this.
Mm. Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to do for those that are new to this subject is I've just recently, just this year, finished 7 hours of teaching on Dr. James White's Dividing Line, where I walk through law and gospel, the five solas, and these five doctrines of grace. 7 hours of Bible teaching. By the way, if folk want to get hold of it, you can go to the church website where I'm pastor, kingschurchaz.com. I believe it's the seventh link down. It just says 7 hours of Bible teaching. And unless people are willing to do that, I often said, you're not ready to get into this subject.
Mm.
Because they it's so important we address scripturally and slowly some of these things. So that's a long answer, and I don't even know I've answered your question, but it's important we take the time and breathe deeply and say, let's look at what scripture says.
Because we're talking about Genesis to Revelation,
yes.
A pattern of God and his nature and his control.
But we're in a soundbite generation. We want the answer in 30 seconds.
Well, and I think that's a part of people wanting to just say, well, I'm just a Christian. Can I just call myself a Christian? And so there's like almost, I mean, I'm not going to say that everyone who says that is being lazy, but I think there is a little bit of laziness to it. There's, there are a lot of things. There's a lot of knowledge out there. Tons of different theological differences between churches. And I mean, I can say it's impossible to know all the information there is to know about all the different things in the Bible. But on the opposite end of that is wanting to know nothing because it's hard and it's going to take a lot of time. Yeah. And it's going to be hard to explain to people, and then they're going to hate me for it anyway. So I'd rather just call myself a Christian. But I mean, even just saying, slapping the label Christian on you, you're going to still have to explain to some people. You're still going to have to know what that means. And you can't just say, oh, well, just I'm a Christian. I mean, if I would look into that, if you feel like you just want to call yourself a Christian, maybe search your heart a little bit and see if there's a little bit of laziness or cowardice there.
And just inconsistency
in
your own thinking, and you can't work it together yourself, and maybe you haven't researched it yourself, so your answer is, well, just sort of indifference about it, well, just to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is the Bible talks a lot about the sovereignty of God and his power and salvation as only him boasting in and everything else. And so let's do a couple things. I'm going to throw them down. Very important, and you're going to understand why in a moment. God's sovereignty over human events, providence, everything else. Okay, here we go. So, Deuteronomy 10:22, that God is the one who grants offspring and descendants. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. So who did it? God did it. Ruth 4:13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive. So he was in control of even that. Exodus 21:12, God in control of human plans and accidents. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint you a place which he may flee. James, famous passage, 4:13-15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. Good and evil, good and ill coming from God. Lamentations 3:37-38. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Health and prosperity. Exodus 4:11. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Deuteronomy 32:39, see now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death, and I and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. 1 Samuel 2:6-7, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. God's in control. Even to the degree of judgment upon sinners. Listen, Romans 11:8. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. So it is actually judgment on fallen people for God to give them eyes to see not and ears to hear not. Why? It's judgment. Sinful people deserve what from a holy God? What do we deserve from a perfect and righteous God?
Justice.
Justice.
Yep.
Not mercy. Not mercy. And so when we ask the question, how is this that God can be holy and good and just and give people eyes that see not and ears that hear not? It's judgment. It's justice. It's a giving people over to what they ultimately want within them in their own hearts. God hardening their spirit and their hearts in order to deliver them into other people's hands as judgment. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
He was created out of the spirit. spare parts of a calculator wristwatch. When a calibrator messed around and got the wires crisscrossed, he lived in a pocket of energy with an emergency release, which was triggered by the explosion, thus the emergence of the beast. Now depending on who you ask, what happens next is debatable. The victor's history usually comes from sources incapable. I know what they left on the right, it is the curse of the text. That's why we're leaving it up to the reader to find which version is best. The
beast. Apologia Radio. Go to our website, Apologia Radio. Give there. Be part of our donation drive, guys. Help support the work. Partner with us in ministry, guys. You can participate with us in ministry. Go there. Give. Pray for us. Join with us. Share our episodes, guys. Be part of what we're doing. All right. So we're going to now dive into from what I can see, looks like the newest of anti-Calvinism video from a gentleman by the name of Stephen Anderson, Faithful Word Baptist Church out of Tempe, Arizona. Many of you guys may have seen him made famous on YouTube. He was going through a border checkpoint, mm-hmm. and he was abused. By the way, I'm going to acknowledge real fast, he was totally abused, mm-hmm. and it was against his rights, and it was unlawful, and everything that happened was against the Constitution, and on and on and on. So I do not actually mock the man for that. I think he actually was abused by law enforcement and everything else, and so it was really an awful thing. However, Stephen Anderson is well known for his KJV onlyism. Mm-hmm. He is well known for his anti-Calvinism rants. Mm-hmm. And just to give you a little example right here,
tell your Calvinist buddy to put that in his stupid pipe and smoke it. Tell Charles Haddon Spurgeon that he didn't smoke a pipe. You know, shove it in the end of his fat cigar.
Best quote ever.
How would you respond to that? Would you respond?
Now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Is that good?
That was perfect.
Yeah. Good, okay. Because it's it.
The Frenchman on top of the castle in the movie, yeah.
It was perfect.
It was perfect.
Very good, okay. So, and just as we get into this, very important, it's going to get bad in a moment here, okay? It gets really bad. Stephen Anderson is very well known for not being a very strong critical thinker, not really getting into what his opponents actually believe or say. Misrepresentation runs rampant with Stephen Anderson. I actually know his family. I want to just go ahead and say it. He lives in town, lives near me. We ended up being in the same organic co-op together. I've been to his house, his family's very, very nice. They're excellent parents. The man is a really good guy outside of this context. But as a pastor, also as a Calvinist, I've got to respond to a man that so blatantly misrepresents Calvinists like this. And so here, let's listen to Stephen Anderson's newest message called "Consistent Calvinism is Satanic."
Oh yeah.
Let me explain something to you about Calvinism. Calvinism, and I don't want to just paint with a really broad brush right now, because Calvinism, again, means different things to different people. Now, every definition of Calvinist I've ever been exposed to, I disagree with all of them. Amen. Whether it's the hyper, the hypo, the quasi, the pseudo, I don't, you know, put whatever prefix in front of it you want. The 5-point, the 4-point, the 3-point, the line, the triangle, the square, the pentagon, you know, whatever. Pentagram is more like Calvinism to me. You know, they should make their 5 points into an upside down star because it's a satanic doctrine. That's what the 5 points of Calvinism should be, an upside down star because it's of Satan.
Somebody just threw up when he said that. Did you hear that?
Well, I like how he starts the whole thing out with like, I don't want to broad brush anyone, but you're all satanic.
Pentagram. All right. So, I mean, there's nothing really to respond to there. Just obviously I want to play that part because it just gives you an idea of the kind of sermons that happen in this church. That's obvious.
This is a part of a sermon?
Yes. He's wearing his ties behind the pulpit, and he's okay. In Faithful Word Baptist Church.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, independent fundamental.
He's wearing separated. A tie? He's serious. Then.
Yeah, wow. He's for real.
Yeah.
He's for real. All right, so here we go.
That's their real 5 points. But let me tell you this. A lot of Calvinists, when you talk to them, and I guess this would be more like the extreme Calvinists or the hyper-Calvinists, they believe that God is controlling the events that are taking place on this earth. That he basically controls the heart of every person. That everything that happens, everything is God's will. And that no one is exercising any free will because God is controlling events. Now, in order to believe this, you have to...
Okay. All right. Okay. So let's deal with that. Johnny, want to jump in first? Do you want me to go ahead and tackle this first?
Go ahead.
So the issue of God being in control of everything. Listen, this is a problem for Steven Anderson. It's amazing how the Arminian will often flip the discussion and say, well, you believe God is in control of everything in history. It's like, okay, well, what are you saying? That God is not in control? Kind of in control? Is he impotent?
Yeah. Right.
Is he the absentee landlord?
Yeah.
You see, this is an issue that both the Arminian and the Calvinist have to come to the scriptures to answer. Because here's the issue. There are evil things happening in the world. God created the world. Well, does he know about them? Is he in charge? Is he impotent? Does man thwart God? Is God underneath man? Is man the sovereign? God not the sovereign? How does it work out? Because when you look at the scriptures, you begin to see that God says, I declare the end from the beginning. I do according to my will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. It says very clearly in the scriptures that God works all things after the counsel of his will. That's what the Bible says. Okay, and Steven Anderson now is dissing the idea that God is in control of everything. The issue of free will, we need to hang there for a second. We've got to hang on to that one. But you see, here's what we have to come to terms with. Either events happen in history and have a purpose, or things happen in this world apart from either God's knowledge or power, and they are without a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that there are things going on in the universe. God created the universe knowing that they would happen, created anyway, with nothing he could do about it, or no plan or purpose in it. You see, this is very important, because what happens is Arminians, like Steven Anderson, will tug on the heartstrings, and they'll start saying, well, these evil things happen in the world, there's no way God can have anything to do with that because he's so holy. And the answer is, yes, evil things happen in the world, and yes, God is holy, but what does the Bible say about God's purpose in this world and what he does to bring glory to himself in either his justice or his grace? Because evil things happen, amen, they do, agreed. But is God in control of those things? Does he have a purpose? Because you see, you really have two options here. Either they happen apart from the will and decree of God, and they are purposeless, or they are part of the decree of God going alongside the willing decisions and actions of his creatures, their own desires, and they have a purpose in time and in history and for the plan of God. You see, it's amazing here that men like Steven Anderson could not even study the position that he attacks, not even study it and sit and teach people about a position that he knows nothing about. And he hasn't even thought through his position enough to realize the problem that he has put himself into. And this is, by the way, I think we can talk, John, about we want to do a future show on Reformed churches and church government and church membership. This is the problem with fundamental, independent, separated Baptist churches like this, is you have the Moses model, essentially. Mm-hmm. He's in charge. He's in control. No one can check him. He has people, no one around him that can actually speak into his life and challenge him. It's dangerous. It's the makings of a cult, ultimately, is what takes place. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
For the people to say that we don't want to fight no more, there'll be no more war, and our children will play one day, one day, one day.
Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com, guys. All right, John, what would you want to say to engage the discussion about God's decree in history?
I think we just need to go to the Bible and just see it answered by Jesus. I appreciate the greats in church history, but none of them come to the level of Scripture, and certainly not to Jesus. And Jesus was ministering in the first century before the discovery of germs, and they'd not encountered the invention of the microscope. But if he was speaking to us in our day, he would talk about microbes and things that are just minute. But in his day, the smallest thing imaginable was something like a sparrow falling to the ground. And he says, that cannot happen. No sparrow can fall to the ground apart from your Father. That's it. That's Jesus' definition of the smallest thing, the smallest, the tiniest event in time. Maybe someone saw the sparrow fall, maybe it didn't. Maybe it was caught on, you know, not on camera, but someone saw it. Maybe no one knew about the sparrow. It was in some forest somewhere. No one saw it. But Jesus, looking at that issue, said, that cannot even happen apart from the Father in some sense. He's sovereign. Mm.
Yep. Down to the birds. It's an important discussion because this is the stuff of real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because every one of us is going to face difficulty and trial and struggle. Everyone's going to face evil.
You're left with purposeless evil as the alternative.
There you go. So what we have here is the option between Stephen Anderson and his system, and I think a biblical view of God's sovereignty over all things.
He's so sovereign, he reigns even over the rebellion of man.
Yes. There you go. So you either have rebellion and God has a purpose in it, or you have rebellion and wickedness and it's purposeless evil.
As a pastor, you know, I pastor as you do, Jeff, and it's horrendous, the events of time. There's no sugarcoating it. Sometimes you have to walk into a hospital room and you're devastated mm-hmm. almost as much as the family you're going to walk mm-hmm. towards. Yeah. And you're just asking, oh, God, what can I say? But the thing we can say is in the midst of it all, thankfully, there's a God who I don't know what that purpose is right now, but I know he has one.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a comfort. To go in and say, you know what, God's just as grieved this happened as you, and he just wishes that he hadn't given man free will, and he just hopes that some good's going to come out of it, but he's not sure. What kind of comfort is that?
Yeah, and Stephen Anderson says at the end of that thing there, I forget exact words, we can rewind it if we needed to, but basically God doesn't give a man free will. Okay, be very clear on this. God is in control of everything, and man has a will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God does not make the man like a puppet do evil things, like as Stephen Anderson actually describes in this video. That's just not true. Man has a will, but his will is enslaved. He is doing, when he does something, the very desire yes. of his heart. It's within his heart to do it. He wants to do it. God doesn't have to cause sort of the desire to rise up in the person's heart that wasn't there before. It's
doesn't have to inject
them.
Evil into the heart.
Exactly. They're doing what they want to do. Now, yep. when we talk about their will, see, Stephen Anderson keeps repeating the mantra, free will, free will, free mm-hmm. will. But the question is, we have to challenge that presupposition.
Mm-hmm.
Is man free in a fallen state? Is he truly free or not? And I think the scriptures demonstrates without a question that God shows us that man's will is enslaved. And I'll be happy to say it right now on the air, if Stephen Anderson ever got a hold of this, I would be glad
mm-hmm.
to debate you publicly on this issue of man's condition and God's power and salvation.
It's all an assumption made because God does command sinners to repent,
yes.
to seek the Lord, and implied in that, but it's not explicitly said, is we must have the ability to do that. I can repent of my own accord, of my own free will, but we're reading something into the text. And when the Bible addresses what man can and cannot do, it tells us he cannot do a whole bunch of things, like come to Christ.
Yeah.
John 6:44. No one can come to me unless God does something, and the one he does it for is raised up at the last day.
Exactly. And the gospel is not a request. It's not it's just good advice. It is a command. God mm-hmm. commands you to repent and to believe. You're morally responsible before your God because you're in his image, and you are responsible to this one and only true and living God. You are responsible. Everyone is. Mm. And so when God calls people to respond to him, that is their responsibility. But
yes.
does everybody respond to God? No. And the ones that do respond, we have to ask the question, well, how come there are God seekers if it says there is no God seeker? Because I'm a God seeker. And the truth is, only by the grace of God is any one of us a God seeker now.
He's changed the disposition of your heart.
That's right.
You did have a dead heart. You did have a dead spirit. You were dead towards him. Now you're alive. And Ephesians 2:1-4, it's the but God that has made us alive even when we were dead. It's all him.
Amen.
Abhor to your radio. We'll be right back.
and that no one is exercising any free will because God is controlling events. Now, in order to believe this, you have to be a pervert. Okay? And let me explain to you why. Because of the fact that people make God in their own image many times when they make a false God. The God of the Bible is not controlling everything. God is not perverted. And these...
If God is not in control of everything, he is not worthy of worship.
Hmm.
Period. Now, that does not say that God is causing somebody to want to do evil. They want to do evil. And if he is not in control, again, it means there are events that happen, things that happen in history that are purposeless. Purposeless. Okay, so let's hear more of Stephen Anderson on...
Calvinists who believe that God's controlling everything, they believe in a perverted God. Therefore, I believe it's because they are perverted in their heart. And here's what I mean by that. There are some...
Is that his version of a syllogism? They believe in a perverted God, therefore I believe that they're perverted in their heart. That's just the connections. He's like, it's madness, really, when you listen to him. He tries often to sound consistent and reasonable and logical, but he always smuggles in these sort of unchecked presuppositions as he makes his, you know, this and that, and then therefore this. And he needs to be checked on the most fundamental issues: the decree of God in history, the condition of man, the issues of will, of free will, who's in charge of salvation. That's what really, everything about what he says needs to be checked and challenged. Do you have anything you want to say, John? Okay, let's go continue on here.
Very wicked, sick, perverted things that go on in this world, are there not?
Amen.
I mean, there's all kind, and I don't want to go into it, but there are some really bad things.
And according to you, Stephen, God has no purpose in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's molestation going on. There's murder going on. There's rape going on. There's abortion going on. And here's the thing. If you're one of these Calvinists who believes that God's controlling everything, you're basically saying that God is the inventor or the author of sodomy, that God is the author of abortion, that God is controlling abortion doctors as they abort. God is controlling rapists and homos, and it's all according to his will. Look, if you believe...
Well, interesting, if Stephen Anderson moved out of his own narrow domain for long enough to actually ask somebody, what do you believe? Or can I read something on what you believe and say? He would actually read Chapter 3 of Westminster Confession of Faith.
Yes.
God from all eternity did by most holy, wise and holy counsel of his own will freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. Yet so as thereby neither is God the author of sin, nor is violence offered to the will of the creatures, nor is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away. You see, that's just standard Calvinistic reform definition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can back all that up with scripture, but the point is here he just absolutely entirely misrepresents people. To say that God, Calvinists believe God is the author of sin and these sinful things, is just simply to lie, if you know what you're talking about.
It's the prerogative of a woman to change her mind, and it's the prerogative of a theologian to make distinctions. And just lumping everything under the will of God is, again, missing the basic definitions that we as Reformed folk have provided through the centuries. Just very, very quickly, three ways the will of God is spoken of in Scripture. There's the sovereign, decretive will. That's the will that always comes to pass. Whatever God decrees, it always happens. Isaiah 46 says it. Nothing can thwart his will. Mm-hmm. That will is known also as the secret will of God. In other words, we don't know what that is until the events of time transpire. Then there's this second distinction of the preceptive will of God, where God gives us precepts, things he commands us to do, his law, his commandments. And as the course of human history shows us, people have the power to disobey that, not the right to, but they do often disobey that preceptive will. They've got the power to do it, not the right to do it. But then there's this third, the will of disposition. That's his attitude. It defines what's pleasing to him. He takes no delight in the death of the wicked, yet he certainly in his sovereign will has decreed
those kind of
the
sick
death
things.
Of the wicked. He's done that. And God's ultimate delight is in his own holiness. So you have to understand that there are distinctions made because Scripture makes those distinctions. He has this will of eternal decree, the events of time. He has his commandments, and he has what he desires. And to just jumble all those things up and put them in a bag and say that's what is being taught is to misunderstand what is being said very, very clearly.
Yes. Yes, very much so. And the challenge here is with a gentleman like Stephen Anderson is that he won't engage with the other side mm-hmm. enough
right.
to say, what is it that you actually believe? Could you tell me what it is you believe? You know, what's interesting is with...
It shows no respect.
No, and you know, I'm Reformed Baptist, mm-hmm. and, you know, I have all... My heroes and best buddies are all Presbyterians. You know what I do when I have differences with them on issues? I would say, well, could you guys give me your best resources?
Mm-hmm.
Could you guys give me a listing of what you go to as a best resource? What are the pastors you refer to the most? I want to know what it is you believe. And
yeah.
on issues of eschatology, if I have a brother who's historic premillennial or something like that, I always say, well, what is it that you read that... It convinces you. Tell me what you think. And why is it that? Because misrepresenting another person doesn't, it's not the slam dunk. It doesn't end the argument. You've misrepresented. You haven't even engaged the discussion yet. And Stephen Anderson has not even engaged this discussion of Calvinism.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't even engaged it.
An analogy would be, say, we were trying to understand people in the Baha'i faith. And we said, you know what? They all teach that God is a yellow and red bird. And yet, they say, no, we don't. And let me just say, God is not a yellow and red bird. And I want to say it absolutely, sincerely. It's a satanic thing for you to say that God is a yellow. But if they don't actually believe that, we haven't engaged in the argument. We haven't advanced the discussion whatsoever.
Right.
And he has not helped his own cause by not understanding the view that he's now engaging. We would... certainly do that when it comes to Jehovah's Witnesses. We try and learn what it is they actually believe before we respond to it.
That's right. And it ultimately, I think he has egg on his face here because he's put this out there. It's a video that's put up now, and he's absolutely misrepresented people. He doesn't know what Calvinists believe or teach. He hasn't listened to their reasoning from the Scriptures, and so he's misrepresenting them, and so that's a challenge. Here's the deal. We have limited time in this one. You can listen to the sermon up online, this speech he gave, and Consistent Calvinism is Satanic by Stephen Anderson. Listen to the rest. But here's the deal. This is interesting here. His big challenge in this video is he says... You know, they believe God's in control of everything, and that sort of he is like a puppet master controlling people, making them think sick, evil, wicked thoughts. That's what he says. Mm. That's what the Calvinists believe, that God is making people do these evil things and all the rest. And he's like, God has nothing to do with that. God has nothing to do with that. So, again, it's purposeless. You have a world of purposeless evil and an impotent God, Stephen Anderson. But he says, you know, God has nothing to do with that. He goes, for example, and he goes to Romans 1. And he goes, in Romans 1, it says, God gave them over to do those depraved things. Pause. Pause. Stephen Anderson, if you ever hear this, think about what you just said. You went to the text of Scripture, and I agree with you. God gave them over to do all those wicked things. Here's the question. Where was the starting point in that? Who did it?
Yep.
God gave them over to do what was in their wicked hearts to do.
Not what was in his heart.
Yeah. What was in God's heart? Righteousness, holiness.
Absolutely.
And justice.
Yes.
And judgment in that moment. But who's the one that was in control of those wicked things that God delivered them over? God. So what does that mean? Could God have not delivered them over? Certainly could have. It's within his own power and plan to do whatever he wills, but it was when God delivered them over in Romans 1 that they go off and exchange the truth of God for a lie and exchange God for idols and all the rest, right? So who is the one in charge? Even in Stephen Anderson's inconsistent thinking here, God.
Mm-hmm.
God's not in control of these things. He has nothing to do with all this. It's within their hearts. You see, God gives them over. Ah, spoken like a true Calvinist.
Mm-hmm. It does not say God watched them doing it.
Right.
He gave them over to it.
That's right.
That's activity.
So exactly, activity, and God is the one who's in charge of that activity. He's the determiner of whether or not they're going to go that direction. Think about the ministry of Jesus for a second. The ministry of Jesus. How often did they want to stone Jesus and Jesus walks right out because it's not his time? Mm-hmm. They wanted in their hearts to do something that God, in that moment, wasn't going to allow them to do. It wasn't his time. It wasn't the time that God had determined for that to take place. And it wasn't...
He restrained sin.
That's exactly right. Judas cannot betray Jesus until Jesus gives him permission to do so. Mm-hmm. Jesus actually gives him permission, go now and do what you're going to do. And it's only Jesus that's doing it. And Pilate, don't you know I have the power to let you go? You don't have any power except that which is given to you by God, Pilate. Mm.
You don't have any power unless it's given to you by free will. It's right. The opposite view.
Right, right. And the murder of Jesus, the prayer of the Christians in the book of Acts is that gathered in this city against your holy servant Jesus, you got Pontius Pilate, you got Herod, the people of Israel, the Gentiles, to do what? Whatever your hand had predestined to occur. Now watch this. Steven Anderson wants to pull on the heartstrings of every person by going molestation, rape, murder. And everyone goes, oh, man, that hurts. Mm. Amen, amen, amen. Wicked things. Pull on the heartstrings. I get you to go along with me anywhere I want. Now watch this, though. Let's we stop pulling the heartstrings for a second and do some hard, critical thought. Let's think about what the most wicked act in history was. What was it? It was the murder of the Son of God on the cross. So the righteous one who's blameless and sinless is delivered over to sinful men to do wicked, evil things with his body. Think about it. Jesus was kidnapped. Jesus was brought to false trials. There were false accusations made against him. There was injustice. And he was delivered over to be murdered as an innocent person. Even Pilate says, I find no fault in him, but go ahead and kill him. That's murder. And so they take him, and Jesus is beaten. He's physically tortured. So there's kidnapping, physical torture. He is brutalized, and he is ultimately mocked while he's being brutalized and murdered. Murdered. Now think about those wicked acts. What does Jesus understand? Kidnapping. What does Jesus understand? Deception. What does Jesus understand? Physical abuse and torture. Oh, you mean kind of like rape? Mm-hmm. Kind of like that, molestation. People do it. Hey, watch this. What's molestation? It's people taking liberties with your body they have no permission or right to take. Mm. What did people do to Jesus' body? They took liberties with his body they had no right to take. Think about that. So let's look at you got rape, molestation, all the rest. Okay, Jesus understands that. And what does it say? It says all these people with these differing motives, they gather against Jesus to do what? Whatever God's hand had what? Predestined to occur. Now, did God make any of those people sin?
Nope.
No. He predestined that moment for his glory, for the praise of his glorious grace, for those who would be saved. Amazing grace is what it's all about. And they did what was in their hearts to do. They wanted to kill Jesus lots of times. Mm-hmm. God did not allow it.
And that's Acts 4, verse 28. Yeah, and it's a New Testament example of what we see in Genesis with Joseph and the brothers. Joseph was able to say when he saw them, you meant it for evil. Right. God, in the same actions, meant it for good. God's purpose is always good. Man's purpose is often and just about always evil. And God is sovereign even over those evil acts. And God is sovereign over the greatest sin. That means he's sovereign over all lesser sins. He's sovereign over evil. He beat evil on the cross.
Amen.
He beat it by predestining not only a plan, but a salvation. Mm-hmm. The greatest glory will be given to God by the greatest sin in human history.
Glory.
Yes, sir. Joy, have you seen the Apostle...
I don't watch Armenian movies.
John, have you seen The Apostle?
I did.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, John, give me some right now. Yeah, high five from John. He saw The Apostle. Evil. Joy Timby. The Apostle. Get it. Apologia Radio, guys. Catch us next time. ApologiaRadio.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologiachurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the Embassy Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.